and magnify the Lord and worship Him. Worshiping Jesus Christ. Lord, give us the grace to just forget about ourselves and magnify your name and worship you, Lord. Father, give us the grace to just forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship you. Give us the grace to just forget about ourselves, magnify the Lord and worship Him. Worship you, Jesus Christ. Lord, you've given to us enough time this week to do the other things, to serve our earthly masters at our workplaces, wash our cars and wash our clothes and clean our houses and take care of our children and sleep and wake up. But these 2 hours here is to be about you. When we rest from our labors, to just focus on you. I pray that it will please you to help us to worship you here on earth the way you are worshipped in heaven. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth be acceptable in the sight of God in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just start off from, pick up from where we left off last week. Who can remind us one or two things that we learned last week? Who are we? What are we? Are we Protestants? I wonder, what are we protesting about? Are we Lutherans? Are we Catholics? Are we non-denominational? When anybody asks you, it's important for you to be able to describe who we are. Whatever the Bible says, we believe it. What else do we remember from last week? That's the only thing we remember, at least. We believe the whole Bible. We believe the whole Bible. We began to just simplify things and talk about what our statement of faith is. It's possible to teach. Someone actually already queried me this morning. I'm going to hide the person's name. Say, are we going to do church history this morning, or are you actually going to preach? Yes, I know you know you're going to hear it. So now you've heard it. Huh? Church is history. You want us to do church history? All right. And my question to the person would have been, what exactly is preaching? Preaching is whatever it takes to reveal Jesus. When someone is hungry and you give the person food, if you give the person John 3:16 when they're hungry, you're not preaching. You're being a scribe and a Pharisee. That's what you're being. The Lord Jesus was preaching one day and then he stopped. He said, they are hungry. Give them food to drink. Oh, sorry, you don't drink food. And the apostles were amazed. His disciples, they said, we're in the desert. How are we going to get? What? You say the most unusual things. Is this time for food? These guys have come to hear about the kingdom. And the Lord said, but they faint. Give them something to eat. And the salmon was paused until they ate. But of course, the danger was that the next time they gathered, they wanted food, not the salmon. May the Lord help us to give what the Bible calls the word in due season. Let's open our hearts and see what the Spirit is saying to us. Don't worry about form and structure. It's because we worry too much about form and structure that we're having debates about faith and grace, about grace and law, when the issue of our time is not grace. How many of you were born Pharisees and Sadducees and under the law of Moses? Raise your hand. We leave the issue of our times and we're dealing with the issues of the times of Paul. The issue of our time is laziness, the lack of faith, the lack of zeal, postmodernism, the tricks of Satan. Satan has changed his tricks. The evil within the church, godlessness, religion without love, without passion, scribes. Focus on fasting and praying, just like some people focused on Sabbath and the letters of the law. And they persecuted Jesus because he dared to eat on the Sabbath. Because they did not understand the times. They did not understand the voice of the Spirit. All they understood is the black and white. They don't understand the spirit of the letter. They are focused on the letter of the Spirit. And the letter kills. But you could not behold Jesus and see a man of compassion. Every time you expected him to turn left, he went right. Was so full of love and compassion. He said, of his fullness we have received from grace to grace. From the law came through Moses, but grace and peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you want? Do you want the law? Or do you want grace and peace? Salvation brings a smile to the face. It brings a joy to the heart. It brings the expectation of heaven. If your salvation is devoid of such dynamism, if it's full of labor and chore, that's the salvation of Pharisees and Sadducees. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. What did Jesus say? Do you feel rested? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Has your experience of Jesus been righteousness? Has it been peace? Has it been joy in the Holy Ghost? If the answer is no, no, no. Is that the kingdom of God that you have received then? So it's always good. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says, go into the way and stand. Look for the ancient paths, the paths, the ways that are good, and walk in it, and you will find peace or rest for your soul. He said, but you would not. You will rather continue to do the same things over and over and over again, hoping for a different result, which they say is the definition of what? I don't know who said it. It didn't come from my mouth. You people said it. Sister Kike started us fine. So we began to gather and talk about our statement of faith. What do we really believe in? And we read through all of this. I mean, we're going to go into the Bible. But we laid out yesterday, I said yesterday, last Sunday, what our core belief is. And the first one, which we go, is that Jesus is the head of the church. That's the what I want to talk about today. In our introduction, we talked about who we are. But today, our core belief, number one, is Christ is the head of the church. Praise the Lord. It seems like an ordinary thing, but it's very, very important for us to reiterate that. Let's go back. Please help me open. Anike, are you the one opening the digital Bible? Help us open it to the Bible verse that we just read today. Colossians chapter 1. We start reading from verse 15. You might say, but Brother Wiley, why is that the first thing in our statement? Because Christianity without Christ is not Christianity. What did I say? There's one game I'd always played when I'm doing Bible study. I'll say in the pages of the New Testament, just open to any page by accident. There's no way you will see any page in the New Testament that it does not talk about Jesus either directly or indirectly. You know that song that says, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, Jesus. At times we have made it about ourselves. Christ died for me. The emphasis there is really me when we say it, not the Christ that died. And that's why there's no more power in the church. That's why there's now Christianity without people really knowing Jesus. Gradually, even we are removing Jesus from our songs. It used to be that if you open any of those ancient parts, any of those old hymn books, most of those songs were stories about what Jesus did. So you go to Colossians chapter 1, start reading there. It said, for this reason, since the day we heard, we do not cease to pray. Let's start reading from verse 15. 1:5. Talks about this Jesus. Can you go to 14? Back up a bit. Okay. We're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified all of us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of who? Of the Son of His glory. Whose kingdom is it? Is it the kingdom of the saints? It is the kingdom of who? Of Jesus Christ. Our Christianity must not be devoid of the personhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason most of us don't have joy in our heart is that because the joy of a Christian walk is in knowing Jesus Christ, the man. Wanting to emulate him, wanting to represent him, wanting to talk to him, speaking to him, he living in our hearts. It's not about an elusive God that we're looking to. The Bible says that He's God with us, Emmanuel. We do not know how the Father eats or drinks. So the Father sent the Son to reveal how He eats and drinks. So He calls Himself the Son of Man, our friend. We can speak with Him. We can talk to Him. We can touch Him. I dare say that if your level of faith, if your Christianity, it's not defined as an intimate relationship with Jesus. That is not the real Christianity. You have not yet received Christ. And that's why a lot of our churching experiences are empty, because there's no man there. There's only an idol called God there. The Bible says that no one has seen God at any time, but Jesus, who he has sent, reveals him. Your prayer should be, Jesus, let me know you. Paul said, I may know him, the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. In every culture and age, where the people know Jesus, whether they are villagers without education or they are professors, you will see that their faith is always rich. But where people know a certain God, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, you see that their faith is always fake. Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot even begin to know God unless you are familiar with Jesus. So this says, in this Jesus, we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our sins. Think about that. Many of us have not taken the time to think about what redeemed us. A man, God-man, died on the cross and shed his blood. It looks, what do you call it? Primitive. But through these primitive means, salvation was brought to you and I. And he said, we must drink that blood. Have you ever meditated on, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not see the kingdom of God? Anybody who has meditated on that scripture? I just want someone to do a quick exposition to me. What does that mean? Unless you eat my flesh, why would eat my flesh, cannibal? You will not have life. Unless you drink blood drinking Dracula, flesh eating. It's not a statement you expect from the Bible, but it's there. You will not have life. Thank you, Sister Hura.
So, it's referencing the blood sacrifices that were done in the Old Testament to make atonements for
I would think
sin.
that those were bloods of bulls, not his own, right?
Yes,
Okay.
but those were only the priests could do that, and those were only temporary, and you had to do it either
Yeah,
seasonally.
correct, but they never drank that, right?
They never drank it.
I think they poured it into the fire and burned it.
But in the New Testament, when it comes to Jesus, it talks about we have to partake in the suffering if we're going to partake in the glory as well.
So they drink my blood and eat my flesh, references partaking in his suffering.
Yes,
Okay,
it
so that
is.
was sermon for another day. Hey, revelation. Thank you. I wasn't even thinking about that one. Okay. Drink my blood. Number one, let me ask you a question. Do you expect that kind of statement from the New Testament? Be very honest.
On the near term, well, it's Jesus that was talking, so
So you expect
yes.
anything? Okay.
Well, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 23. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You may not eat the life with the meat. You shall not eat it, you shall pour it onto the earth like water.
And yet Jesus says we should eat
Yes,
this one.
because he said, don't take the blood or the flesh of the animals, because that's where the life, the cocoa is. But
Okay.
like he said, my own, you should take it because that is where the life is. I am going to give you life. Yeah.
Have you drank the blood of Jesus before? What color
No.
is it? When did you drink it? Have you eaten the flesh of Jesus before? How many pounds of it did you eat? Have you ever seen the flesh of Jesus? It's symbolism. Now, my question, thank you very much, by the way. That's great exposition. What does that symbolism mean? What did Jesus mean on that day when he spoke to people and said, "You must drink my blood and eat my flesh to have life"? At the least, what does that mean? What was Jesus' chief message to the people around him when he was alive on earth, physically? What was in contention then? The big debate and contention is that Jesus Christ is not who he says he is as the key to eternal salvation for all mankind. And the Lord said that to say to them, listen to me. Like Tommy said, you are used to all of this. All of those things you are used to are useless. Or unless you have a personal, you have me as your personal deliverer. Unless you are one with me, my flesh, my blood, unless you have a great I, me, myself, my blood, my flesh, my personhood is your life. You are not going to have life in me unless you start changing your attitude about who I am. And listen to what I'm saying and own me in a very personal sense. When you drink and you eat, you become one with that person. The Lord was not saying we should go to Jerusalem, dig off. Anyway, his body is no longer there. In fact, he made sure we wouldn't be able to have access to his flesh by just resurrecting and taking the body upstairs. But he's preaching that Christianity is not in the head, it must flow in your bloodstream. That life is about him. In him is life, light. That life is the light of men. And that passage, if we went back, yeah, sir, thank you for bringing that. Those were the Jews quarreling among themselves. But as Christians, the message today is, do you know Jesus in an intensely personal way? Is he your brother? I always challenge us Christians that there are lawyers here. There's no doctor here today. All of you are brilliant professionals. If you know your profession more than you know the words of Jesus, you have not drunk him and you are not eating his flesh. We all should be so familiar. Imagine someone that is your life, someone that you love, someone that is your ambition, someone that you claim is your Lord. You know what it means to be Lord? How familiar will you? Will that person write a few letters to you? In fact, imagine someone that you love. I'm sure some of you still have the love letters. You people don't write letters anymore these days. That used to be the thing, right? I'm sure you still have Brother Debo's letter of those days. Do you have his? Jesus has wrote us love letters, written us love letters. What am I saying? I don't want to ramble in. I'm saying this, we need more intimacy with the Lord Jesus. Let's go back to our Colossians passage. Jesus is the head of the church. I'll just read through real quickly. Start from verse 15, where the image, all things were created, 16 were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, the White House, the mountain ranges. Please settle it in your heart that your Jesus owns it all. Let's settle it. Manhattan, Dubai, with its complex architecture, wisdom and dominion and might, all things, technology, AI, ML, all governments, all dominions were created through him and by him and for him. The things seen, the things unseen, the thrones, the Buckingham Palace and the other palaces, the principalities, even Satan. Even Satan, created by him and for him. I just want to magnify Jesus to you because some of us have made Jesus Satan's mates. Like there's a struggle between, there's no struggle. The God that became man, your future, your past, your present, your destiny, your thought, your situation were created exactly for him and by him, right? Right? All things were created through him and for him, 17. And he's before all things, and in him all things consist. The chair you're sitting on, the chair that is sitting on you. Because some of us have some loads this morning. Please be assured, the ground that supports us is Jesus. Nothing takes him by surprise. Magnify the Lord, let's worship him. Your future, your great-great-grandparents that you do not know, he knew you were going to come at this time. Your death and his resurrection, your resurrection. In the book of Jeremiah, he says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of good, not thoughts of evil. I plan to bring you to an expected end. I was joking with someone this week. Was it you? I said, and it's true because I tell myself that now we worry about so many things. But there was a time when we were age 3, 4 that we did not know how we were clothed, what we ate, what schools we go to, and God took care of us. Now suddenly he's allowing us the right to co-manage our lives and we're taking control and worrying. No wonder he says, do not worry over anything. All things were created by Jesus. All religions, all tribes, all terrorists, dictators. Please tell me something that does not fall under all things. Everything falls under all things. I want you to walk home today and know that the Jesus that calls himself your Lord and your brother, all things. The White House that you cannot enter was created for him. The person inside was put inside by him. And this is where we get our title, verse 18. Number one, he's before all things, and in him, all things consist. If it pleases the Lord Jesus Christ, this whole drama of life comes to an end. The typhoons and the tornadoes. That was why he was able to speak to the storm. The storm was doing its duty that day in the middle of the sea. That boat was not supposed to be there. They were supposed to be able to read the times and the signs. They set sail at the commandment of the Lord. And the Lord, who knew that the storm consisted in him, was sleeping. Of course, when you have all things in you, you would sleep. You wouldn't care. It's like when you have $1 million in your account, you don't care about the bills coming in the mail. And then suddenly Anika picks up the mail and says, Daddy, my trip is going to cost $1,000, $10,000. And comes to, no, you did not say it. I'm just using it as an example. And he comes into the room and say, oh, Daddy, the school sent the bill. It's $10,000. I'm like, let me sleep. What did he say to us? Let me sleep. Let's talk about it when I wake. In him, your bills consist. The day you were born was picked by him. The day you will check out, it belongs to Jesus. This Jesus that we call Savior and friend, we've always looked at him as a man that came and died for our sins. Please look at him as someone in whom all things consist. Unless you know who he is, how do you begin to build confidence in him? Those who believe in him, their lives are full of troubles. Their lives are full of trials. They are subject to death and sickness. His best friends, things don't go well for them, but they are calm. They add one and one together, they never get two. Go and ask David. Go and ask Abraham. Go and ask Peter. Go and ask James. David's children were misbehaving. His son was raping his daughter. His son was making a mockery of him in the whole of the whole world. Where do we get this fantasy that when things are not well with us, then that means our Jesus is missing from the action? Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, speak comfortably unto Israel. Do you not know that I'm the Lord? I neither go weary, neither am I tired. And there's no searching of my wisdom. Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Even though the youth will be weary and the young men will utterly fall. This is the Jesus I believe in. Which Jesus do you believe in? Somewhere in Jeremiah, he said, people get tired. Those who are rich, they get their goods together. They need a God and they form a God out of gold. Those who are poor, they go and they get a log that will not easily rot and they carve an idol and bow before it. But this is not the living God. The Jesus that we serve is not a Jesus that loves you conditionally or is waiting for you to do something. The Jesus that knew that Peter was going to fall said, oh, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But this was before it happened. This was before it happened, Barashego. My Jesus is not a quid pro quo. If he was to deal with me and you based on our performance, we'll be toast, especially you. And me. Thank God. Here's a Jesus that knew that on a certain day of the calendar, Peter will see a young lady and will deny him. And yet the Lord had made provision. He said, for I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. But let me give you an advice. When you are strengthened, making sure that the strengthening with which you are strengthening, you strengthen your brethren. It's 26 minutes. The reason I don't like to keep you is because I realize the longer the sermon, the more tired we get. And I don't want to weary you. Right. I'm going to borrow 5 more minutes today. Please, do you understand what I'm saying about Jesus? Our business here is to magnify Jesus. He's the head of the church. Oh, there's so much to say about it. He's the head of the body. Who is the head of the body? The general overseer, the elders, the church fathers. Yes, Sally, do you mean it? Because you people act like men are the head of the church. Because Jesus says something, and then the GO says something else, and you believe the GO. Jesus is jealous. The only attributes I see that God gives to himself that may confuse you and I, when the Bible says God is love, we understand. But when he says, I, the Lord your God, I am a, why does he say that? Sister Kemi, why would God say, I'm a jealous God?
I said, because he won't share his glory.
Who are you giving the glory of Jesus to today? This is serious matter. Oh. You want me to rush by it? We get it, move. But I think this is the prime problem of our time. Christ is not magnified enough. Okay, there's a lot to say. We have to come back to this topic next week. But I want us to read a few passages. Someone open for me to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 16. Another person, please open to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. I want us to read those two things. And there's a series of examples that I wanted to give to show you that it's so important that we start making the point to ourselves that Jesus, who died for you, is the head of the church. I know that it may seem like a hackneyed phrase to some of you, but it's important. Paul said it's important. I know you know these things, but it's very important that we're talking about, Brother Lee. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus, 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 Jesus. May we be drunk with Jesus. Paul said, I desire to the Corinthians. He said, when I came among you, I desire to know nothing else except Christ and him being crucified.
Jeremiah
5:16.
chapter 5, verse 16.
Yeah.
The quiver is like an open tomb. They are almighty men. Should I keep going?
No, don't keep going. That's a try up to 6:16. What does 6:16 say?
Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good one is, and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls.
No, I'm
But
getting that quoted. That's not. I'm just going to quote it and give you the reference. The Lord said, "There's a strange thing happening in the land." Try 5:31. Let's see.
Jeremiah chapter 5,
Five
verse
thirty-one. He
31.
said, "There's a strange thing that is happening in the land."
The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so, but
Stop. Don't be in a hurry. I'll let you read the last one. Please read, start from 30.
an astonishing and horrible thing has been.
Root. What did she just say? This is a prophecy for our time, brethren. Someone should open to 2:13 too. But wait, you're going to continue. But I don't want us to run through. What does that say?
An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land.
Brother Gabriel, what does that say? Astonishing and horrible. Because we don't take this thing as astonishing and horrible. And I just want to show you what God feels about what is going on. In fact, I've had people say, I'll just let them do what they're doing, and I'll just, as long as I keep. What we don't know is that what they're doing is influencing us, it's removing glory from Jesus. That's why I've been praying. I just realized there's been no new awakening in the generation of our children. We had it. We had campus revivals, we had all of that. When was the last Christian awakening? We had the young, by age 20 in our time, we were having young, fiery preachers challenging the older people in the Baptist and Methodist, starting their own movement. Where is that? How can't you see that there's an astonishing and horrible thing? There's no new movement. We just have mercy drops. We don't have your generation shutting down churches. We did it. Suddenly, because of what we were doing, the Catholic Church started a charismatic movement. It was as a direct reaction to what our generation was. Sorry, it was the generation before me, not mine. I don't want to lie, but they carried us along. Young, brilliant. The revelations were coming from college students. Those college students are now church founders today. But what does that say? An astonishing and
horrible thing has been committed.
that's what the Spirit feels about what is going on. Go ahead. What is that astonishing and horrible thing?
The prophets prophesy falsely,
Their
and
prophets are prophesying falsehood. They're saying if you give 10, you will receive 100, and you've been given 10 for 100 years, you haven't received 100 for the 10 that you've been given. They I don't even want to go there. But why do we love the seat? Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, when I come and I preach just Jesus to you and love you, and he said, you hate on me. But when another man comes in his own name and he slaps you and kicks you and uses you and titles, makes you give him title, make you honor him, he said, you love them. He said, but I'm not going to get tired of doing it because a father must give to his children, not the children to the father. It's the same. Continue.
And the priests rule by their own power.
What does that say? The pastors are ruling by their own intellect and power. The prophets are busy prophesying lies. In the country where I come from, there was a time I did a study. They've stopped it now. Thanks be to the Lord. Thanks be to. Every new year, they had a list of prophecies. I thought COVID kind of humbled them because not one of them saw COVID coming. The biggest event that year, not one. Not one. Their prophets prophesy lie. They said this is the prophecy for the year. There will be an earthquake somewhere in the world. There. There. Their prophets prophesy lies. They say Jesus has come to make you rich. They've turned Jesus into a means to an end. They fill their pews. 34. Continue. Finish it.
And my people love to have it so.
Look at that. That's what is amazing. Isn't that true? Which are the full churches today? Okay, I think I know. Please now read it nonstop from the top to the bottom so that everybody will get the context. Please listen to what and tell me whether that prophecy is true today or not. Please.
An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end?
We'll go back to the ancient parts. Read Jeremiah 2:13.
For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water.
We need to return to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He said, my burden. You know, this yoke, this Christianity thing that they are teaching to at times, it feels so difficult. But the one of Jesus is easy. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. And he said, and you will find rest for your soul. Jesus has not come to hurt us. He has not come to lay a burden. He has come to show us the way, the truth, and the life, to bless us. I've seen that the richest time in my Christian walk are the times when I had the Lord always before me. I have him as an example of how to treat my wife, an example of how to treat my brothers and sisters. When you people annoy me, I smile. Huh? You see it as well? It is well. That's what you do. He teaches me how to abandon abase. He teaches me when I want to be mean, not to be mean, because it wasn't mean. Have Jesus. Have a Christianity without Jesus is all over the place. You can sing it, dance it, do it. Unless you're a follower of Jesus, there will be no context to your Christian walk. You just will be behaving anyhow and calling yourself a Christian. It will be the old man. The Bible says that concerning the former conversation, we should put off the old man, put on the new man, which is created in the exact image of Jesus in righteousness. Without Jesus, your schoolmates, in seconds, they will discern that you are just a nominal Christian. And they just shrug. Because our faith will be tested. But when you have a man that you are following, you will ride on the donkey with him. He said, the voice of another they will not hear. My sheep, they know it's 37. Time flies. We'll continue. But Christ is the head of the church. I want, as we close, we're going to read it. All of this is captured within Christ Jesus. Anytime you attend a sermon, a seminar, and the message does not magnify Jesus, it's not from God. John 16, 33, or thereabout, we've been meditating on that, in which the Bible says, you know how we are fond of saying in our arrogance that we're in the dispensation of who? No, that's not what we say, Brother Shegun. That's what we say. There's no such thing as dispensation of the Holy Spirit. All dominion, all power. Since the time that Jesus came, all dispensation is the dispensation of the Son of God. So Jesus himself warned us and said in John chapter 16, please pardon the verse. I think he said, I will pray the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. So when that Spirit comes, he will not even speak of himself. We love to speak about the Spirit, but the Spirit does not even speak about himself. He said, it is whatever he hears from me that he will say. He said, he will take what is mine and give it to you. It's always a dispensation of Jesus. Do not koinyo Jesu kere. How do you interpret that in English? Do not minimize Christ. Don't let Satan deceive. He will give you God. He will give you the Holy Spirit to think about. But he will never want you to dwell on Jesus. Jesus says, if you really have the Spirit will never tell you anything except it is to glorify Jesus. He said, the Spirit does not even speak of himself. He speaks only the things that he hears him speak. There it is. It's 13, not 33. Do you understand? I commend you to Jesus. That is true Christianity. Jesus loves you. When you kneel down and pray, say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Once you have Jesus, you see that your Christianity will become complete. If you don't have Jesus, you will be like a wind, a man tossed to and fro everywhere. Your Christianity, in fact, you'll be worshiping yourself and you will think you're a Christian. Do you know there are lots of Christians that are self-willed? You'll be worshiping and you think you're a Christian because there's a form of Christian for everybody. But a man whose eyes is on Jesus will have the will of God in him. Jesus will rebuke you. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd will take care of his flock. Will give his life for the flock. He's the head of the church. He said, I am the door of the fold. Everyone that comes before me is a hireling. And that's it. They are hired to do the work. They don't care for you. They want your tithe and your offering. Paul said something. He said, I think to the Ephesians, he said, they want to use you so that they can rule over you. That's not the exact phrase. But Jesus gave his life for us. This is Christianity 101, brothers and sisters. Don't become so spiritual that you lose focus on the most fundamental. We have come to Jesus. We have come to a man full of compassion, full of grace. The Bible says of his fullness we have received from grace to grace. Make sure you know Jesus. Any Christian that knows Jesus, you will know them and you will know they know Jesus. When you rebuke them, they will hear the word of Jesus and you see their head will just go down. There's no such thing as a stubborn Jesus knower. Even when they are wrong, they apologize. It's not because of you. It's not because you scared them. It's because Jesus is telling them, I was wronged. And I said, forgive them, O Lord, for they know not what they are doing. There's a difference between joining a church and actually following Jesus. You, as a student, I keep saying, the Lord has not given you education so that you can earn good salary and money. What does salary do? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will it matter what you become on earth in 120 years? The grave is full of people more brilliant than all of us. When I saw the papers that this Hamilton man, what's his name? The Treasury, what's his name? At 30-something, the first Treasury, whatever, Secretary of the Treasury in the U.S. Judge, Them George Washington, the Sam Hamilton, whatever his first name. The papers those people put together at age 20 something. I'm like, wow, these were brilliant men. Jefferson, all of them. The Constitution on which the foundation of your nation today is laid were written by 30 something, early 40, 20 something year olds. Brilliant men. The earth is full of brilliant men. But God wants us to be Christians. Brilliance means nothing. The glory of man. The Bible says that all flesh is like grass. And all your glory, your education, your accomplishments, they are like the flowers of the grass. He said the grass will wither and the flowers will fade because the breath of the Lord will blow upon it. But those of us who trust in the Lord, we will be like the everlasting mountain. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Don't miss that gift. Don't be caught up in religion, brothers and sisters. Know Jesus. Ask yourself, what does Jesus say about this? Let us pray. Help us, Father, to be slaves of righteousness. Jesus, my Lord, help us to love you. The world and the church has ignored you for so long. We've written so many books, so many ideas, steps, strategies, seminars, building foundations on sand. But you are the everlasting foundation. Give us understanding, Lord. We just want to know you, Lord. You did not leave us a book. You left us life. Help us, Father, to know you. Help us to know your Son. Let Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. Let us be rooted and grounded in love, that together with the saints we know what is the length and the breadth and be filled with your fullness. He said unto us, a son is given, a child is born. You place the government upon his shoulders. Say you will be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. That's how you glorified your Son. Hide not your Son from us, Lord. Help us to be Jesus lovers. Help us to have the shepherd in our hearts, Lord. Help us not to have empty religion. Give us the grace to look forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you help us, that our Christianity from today will be about the man Jesus, so that we may receive chastisement from him. So that you said, we behold us through the glass, through a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and we are transformed in the same image from glory to glory as by the power, by the Spirit of the Lord. As we behold Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we will see the transformation in our lives in Jesus' name. For in ourselves, we cannot do the transformation. We can simulate it, but it never lasts. Pour your grace, O Lord, as we exalt Jesus in our hearts. I pray, God, that your blessings will come and your revelation. We ask all of these things with thanksgiving, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Barakunle. Where's Barakunle? Communion?